From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Irene continues its northern trek, now at tropical storm strength, having spent the weekend tearing a path from North Carolina to New England. At least 18 people have reportedly died across eight states in this storm. Flooding and lost power are Irene's main stories. The storm is now in Vermont, where rivers are expected to crest late tonight or early tomorrow. Along the East Coast, more than 4 million have lost power, and many people who evacuated ahead of the storm are beginning to return home. NPR's Larry Abramson has more.
Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano briefed President Obama on the storm Sunday morning. She warned people to stay off the roads.
We're not out of the woods yet. Irene remains a large and potentially dangerous storm. Hazards still persist in communities that have already seen the storm pass.
Officials remain concerned about the risk of flooding in coming days as swollen rivers continue to rise. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
In New York City, where Irene seemed to have spared the city a more severe lashing, Councilman Vincent Gentile says the cleanup is about to start.
I'm told that the Parks Department, now that the winds have subsided, will begin the cleanup sometime this evening. And I would imagine over the next 3 days should take majority of that cleanup.
Craig Carper with member station WCVE reports that the state of Virginia is now experiencing the second largest power outage in its history.
The area of the state most affected by the storm was Richmond, where 75% of the city is without power. Dominion Virginia Power says it will be days, possibly longer, before power is fully restored to their service area. A fourth fatality due to a falling tree has been reported. State officials are warning people not to take chances or overexert themselves during storm cleanup. Virginia Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Karen Rimley.
If you're not used to chopping down trees, today is not the day to learn how. It's better to let somebody else come in and do it for you. So I think it's a day that we should all kind of take a deep breath and say we're lucky that we're all here and think about planning to clean up in a thoughtful way rather than trying to jump into it.
One positive effect of the hurricane is that it has extinguished fires in the Great Dismal Swamp. For NPR News, I'm Craig Carper in Richmond.
Libyan rebels appear to be solidifying control of Tripoli. We get more from NPR's Jason Bobian.
There are roadblocks all over the city at the moment. It's very hard to move around. The rebels have also been making advances. They say that they've pretty much cleared the road entirely from Tripoli to west to the Tunisian border. They're also moving closer to Sirte, the hometown of Gaddafi, where loyalists are still in control there. So the rebels are rapidly controlling more and more of the country. It is very clear that they do completely control Tripoli.
NPR's Jason Bobian in Tripoli. This is NPR. U.S. officials say they have killed a key al-Qaeda operative in Pakistan. As NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports, if the reports are true, the group has lost its new second-in-command.
Officials say that Atiya al-Rahman was killed last week in Waziristan, Pakistan, in a CIA drone strike. There are often reports about drone strikes that have killed core al-Qaeda leaders, only to have the targeted terrorists surface later unscathed. In fact, that happened last year in Rahman's case. But this time, officials seem convinced they've got their man. Rahman is more than just al-Qaeda's number two. He's one of the hardcore fighters who fought the Soviets in Afghanistan alongside Osama bin Laden. He became bin Laden's trusted aide-de-camp. He was in charge of communicating to other al-Qaeda leaders and other al-Qaeda affiliate groups. He was also in charge of getting bin Laden's many audio and videotapes out to the media. If he is dead, officials say it's another body blow to al-Qaeda. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
The state of California is considering legislation to ban styrofoam food containers starting by 2015. More than 50 California cities and counties already have a similar ban. Supporters of the ban say styrofoam is not compostable or biodegradable and can last for thousands of years. The blockbuster novel turned blockbuster movie, The Help, was in first place at the box office this weekend with $14.3 million in sales.
I want to interview you about what it's like to work as a maid. I'd like to do a book of interviews about working for white families.
Hurricane Irene made a slow summer weekend at the movies even slower. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.